Okay. Gabe said that he's got something today, but we'll just, I want to cover some of the, round out a little bit of our discussion of Makas Medina before we call it, before we end this man. A few haros going back to our original discussion of Makas Medina. If you see here, one interesting question that I just wanted to remind us of, this came out of the sugya of Istakar Nahar Malka Siba, this sugya over here on Kufav Mabes. Remember the Gemara said that Nahar Malka Saba lo avidimiskar, Makas Medina heel zeal nachile? Say, oh, Cole's here. Cole, we just started. We stalled for you. So one point I want to make here is the Gemara's language again. Nahar Malka Saba lo avidimiskar, Makas Medina heel zeal nachile? And I think this raised the question, to what extent is it constitutive of Makas Medina that it be something that's wholly infrequent? It's lo avid demiskar. Usually the Rishonim theory, the Mefarshim here are assuming that Makas Medina is just something that affects everyone. And I mentioned last time that from the language of the Gemara, you could have this diak that the shchichos might be part of what makes something a Makas Medina. So I just wanted to add one formulation here from the Machane Ephraim in Schira Simen Hay, where he seems to formulate this idea. He quotes that Gemara, and he says, "Mashma o dafilu hecha dahavas makas medina, I have midi de shchiach have a pseida de socher, kiven de lohisna socher savar vekiba b'chol gavna." So in trying to navigate the rule of pseida de poelim, right, parties in equipoise, the poel, the motzi loses, and the rule of makas medina, the Machane Ephraim here is explicit that this idea that the tenant will get a discount from his rental, or the idea that we're going to apply the Makas Medina rule, is only when there's no hisne. It's only when the socher, the motzi, wasn't obligated to make some tnai about it. So the important takeaway of his view is that milsa deshchiach might override the rules of makas medina, and it would prevent one party from getting a makas medina discount. Okay, so that brings the shchichos consideration into the heart of makas medina discussions. The second thing I wanted to just recall. Let's see. Yeah. The second thing I wanted to mention here very briefly is Cole's discussion, the counterfactual test from last time, that maybe an important part of what makes something a Makas Medina is the idea that it would have affected the maskir in any event, right? So you're a landlord. If it's a Makas Medina, no matter what tenant you had, you would have incurred the hefsid. That's a reason for viewing the hefsid as being the maskir's to bear. Whereas if it's a maka pratis, then we view it as locally affecting the tenant, not the landlord. So we saw one formulation of this in the Machane Ephraim in Schira Simen Vav. He said, "Lechora near devenidam didan." This is a case of a house burning down, or a house being taken over by non-Jews. Here he says, "Hashda ikal miboy besocher bayis lezman v'toch hazman ba'u gayim b'daruba." He thinks if the government comes in and takes over all the houses in town, that's a Makas Medina, which is Pseida Damaskir. And he says, here's his formulation. Why? One of the things that he takes as being significant of a Makas Medina is the fact that no matter who rented the asset, the asset would have been confiscated. and he appeals again to that interpretation of Rabbeinu Hanano in the Chamor and Garia case. And so he says, what makes something a Makas Medina is the fact that the Maka is not tenant specific. No matter which renter had it, the Maka would have arrived. Aval benidon didon de lo nilkecha ki im bayis zu bilvad, ikal meimar mazale de socher garam. De efshar she im lo haisa schura etz lo, lo haisa nilkachas. So part of what triggers the liability allocation of Makas Medina is the factual or the counterfactual assumption that the maskir, no matter to whom he rented the property, there would be a loss. That makes it a makas medina. It's a maka pratis if it appears to be tenant specific. I found one more raya to this way of looking at things. Remember, Cole mentioned it last time.
You mean the way that's in conflict with mine, the Machane Ephraim's approach?
It's in conflict with, like, the direction that you take the counterfactual, like the Ravan issue you had last time, I believe, right? But it's still measuring Makas Medina based off the counterfactual test.
Right, but it refers to the
Masker.
Okay, but it doesn't solve the issue of the, right, it being distributed among rentors.
Correct.
Rather than renters. Okay.
Correct. Sam Sofer has a similar comment in his Tshuvos in Choshe Mishpat Siman Kuf Samech Aleph. He says the following. He says, Im makas medina hi, pirish, kuli alma shavim b'makas zu, azei minake mechichi ruso, pseida demachkir. Okay, so the tenant gets a discount in makas medina. It becomes pseida de machkir, pseida the owner. Shehare ilo haya machkiro la'acher. I think this is a mistake. I think this should really be ilu. I'm gonna edit it right now.
Change the gear.
Yeah. Shehare ilu haya machkiro la'acher, nami haya oso hahefsid. Right, because even had you rented it to somebody else, there would have been a loss. Aval im eno maka medina, ella maka prati, v'yeh sados be'ir shelo achlam chagav, o shelo nespayish nara rabba, rak nara katan.
Nema, oh, see, there he switches modes.
One second. Nema ihaya etzel hamachkir, lo ira lo. Right? We can say, had this not been rented out to this particular tenant, the onus may not have occurred. Kishem shelo ira lo ha'acherim. U'mazel ra shel ha'chocher. V'yaz menacha mechechi ruso. So he's very explicit that what makes something a makas medina is, again, this counterfactual idea that no matter who rented it out from him, the hefsid would have come. And that's a reason to not view it as socher specific. But in a maka prati, we'll view the onus as affecting the specific socher, right? That's the general rule that the Chassam Sofer sets up. Let's see, Akir has a why not Elohaya Machkiro La'acher, meaning
it's not worth interrupting Chabura for it, and I don't understand the problem with the Gersa.
Okay, let's see. I'm gonna put it back. Elohaya Machkiro La'acher Nami. So Akir, how are you reading it?
Either way.
Meaning, had he not rented it out to someone else, but kept... Oh, yeah, I see that. Meaning, la'acher, meaning some party other than him, had he held on to it.
Right, other than the machir himself, yeah.
Yeah, I can see that reading, right. As opposed to other than this tenant. Yeah, I can see that reading. Gets to the same point.
It doesn't affect what you're saying at all.
Right. And then so, you know, I've finished reading The Promise and The Chosen, right? It's like, who do you think you are to change the words of the Gemara and the Rishonim? Right? This is a threat not only to Yiddishkeit, but to all religions, right? The law doesn't bind us. We write the law if we get to change the texts, right? Yeah, good point, Akir. All right, So I think the Chasam Sofer is along those lines also, that we're looking to the counterfactual test as the metric. Later on, we'll see there's an interesting view. I think the Nesivos says it, and the Chasam Sofer also has a version of this, which is that by default, it sounds like there's a presumption that this is Lemachir's loss to bear, unless for whatever reason you could shift it onto the socher to say mazal lo gorim, and maka. So generally you could say it's the socher because mazal lo goram, unless it's a makas medina where that shows us that it's not socher specific. So we put the loss back on the machkir, and they have a formulation which goes something like, because ara is becheskas abaylim koi, you know, like the true title holder of the land is the machkir. Which I think is very interesting because it's a important qualification to the idea of schiros mechira liyome. Right? When they say they schiros mechira liyome, they're thinking like with respect to the use rights. But, you know, and that, and maybe schiros mechira liyome is a reason to sometimes say that the ones falls to the socher mazal ugaram. But at the core bottom, the real title holder is the Baal HaKarka. And so once you get away from Mazalo de Socher Garam, we're, like in a Makas Medina case, all onsen fall back on the true title holder. In the honorary article, he has an interesting phrase where he talks about, I forget what it's called, like revertibility or something. Like part of ownership is that the land kind of comes back to you at the, you know, at the end of the day when all other claims expire. So this idea that some so far seems to be grounded in some conception of the karka fundamentally is becheskas hamachir, becheskas habaylam. Okay.
Tamar, I'm not sure I understood the last thing that you said.
Yeah. Let me see if I could just pull up the formulation. The reason why they think that the ones comes back to the Baal HaKarka in a Makas Medina case is because they're thinking that at bottom, the title to the land is held by the machkir, even if by the Baal HaKarka, even if mechiros is mechira liyomei, which means that to some extent mazal asocher could be gorem mehefsid. That's like supervening on the fundamental ownership of the Baal HaKarka. It's not totally overtaking it. That, I think that's the idea here in this Chasam Sofer. That's why in Makas Medinas you revert back to Pseid de Machir.
Default, in other words, you know,
yeah.
Owners bear losses.
Unless there's some reason to reassign it to someone else. Okay.
That's helpful that the default is, it's helpful to know where the gravity, you know, of the places.
That's right. Good. I want to make one other ha'ara here. Just pull this up. Okay. With respect to the... Oh, yes. Two other ha'aras I want to make in this section. We had spoken about the Yachloku rule that came out of the Ravan. So I remember the Ravan had the Makas Medina is really Yachloku. The Sma had that idea also for the Malamdim case against the position of the Mordechai. Then Makas Medina, no one's at fault, so we split the loss. Just to add to those shitos here, the Pisrei Choshen, in a footnote in Perek Vav of Hilchos Chiros, he quotes the Orchos HaMishpat, who quotes the Chasam Sofer in a Sefer HaZikaron, about this. B'masha ira ad shah Malamdim v'hatalmidim Nisbatlu milimuda machmas hamochama. I think this is cool. You're our historian here. What year was the Franco-Prussian War?
1872 or 1873.
Could that have been the Chasam Sofer? Does that make sense?
I don't know what the Chasam Sofer meant. Yeah. I'll tell you.
I say Donnie's a
No. The Chasam Sofer was in Slovakia. He was from Bratislava
in Presburg. So he's in the Austro-Hungarian Empire.
Yeah, no, but he was 1839. I mean, he lived through the Napoleonic Wars.
Yes, maybe this is the Napoleonic Wars then.
Why? What did he say? The Mashira Azam Alam Devil to mean black women in the mood and mathmas.
Hamilchama.
Hamilchama, yeah, of course. The Itamar, you're from a family that reads Tolstoy.
Okay, so this is the Napoleonic Wars?
Yeah. But that's the Pisgay. Oh, you're saying the
Hustle Sofer. He's the Sofer, yeah. This is the Battle of Austerlitz.
I don't know which battle in particular
right,
it is.
Battle.
It
right.
seems the it was also well but the Austro-Prussian War was also but those are both Bismarck's wars, the Austro-Prussian and the
Franco-Prussian. Right. Good. So he says, V'chasav shehu shilem lemelamdim kol scharam, aval legabi akol kasav shemikimet shemakas medini yumazal shneim garam, af bishem yikra din nirin divrei amaram padot, which we'll talk about, shekola hefstah balabayis, kasha lehotzi mamon, halkein asa pesher l'shalim chatzi aschar. Again, very hard to know from this tshuva if this is some sort of pshara. There's this, on the one hand, it says that he says that they should pay the Talmidim, the Melamdim, all the schar, or they did, he made them pay kol schar, but then he says that he gave the kol a discount because of Makas Medina and Mazel Shneim Garam. So it's not clear if this is a pshara to Av Yachloku or Meikar Adin Yachloku, but at least in the net outcome, it's consistent with the Yachloku positions that we've seen in the Ravan, that Tshuva of the Marami Rutenberg, and the Sma. All right, so this just adds another yachloku to the shitos out here. That I think the rule for Makas Medina is the yachloku. Okay, good. Any comments on that? Just that short discussion. I want to now introduce the one tshuva of the Maram Padua in Simen Pei Vav. So Maram Padua is, I gave us a little bio. Hopefully we'll get the bio later on. He's early Achronim, around the time of the Rama, a little earlier. You get all these early Achronish, Tshuvos out of Maram Padua. I think he's born in Prague, and later he ends up in Italy. He's very famous Tshuva. I think he published the Rambam. It was a very famous case, the Sagas Gvul case, that the Rama was asked to decide what had to do with the Maram Padua getting a copyright to print Rambams. You know, it's a very famous case. So the Maram Padua here has an interesting short tshuva about Melamdim. Cole, I'm just going to mute you because I hear some background noise from there, but you unmute yourself when you want to talk up. So the Maram Padua has the following discussion. He's writing to Rabbi Yochanan Yatz, Be'inyan she'elascha melamid shebarach talmido me'iro be'es haketzef, kasher hechel hanegeh be'venetzia barminan. This must have been some sort of pandemic in Venice, which caused this student to run away. Im chayiv ha-talmid lost his schar mishalim alenachos yimei abito. Does the Talmud have to pay his full tuition? Is he off the hook, or does he have to pay? Halo ahuvi davar pashadu v'halach roveches b'Yisrael shechol onsa demikri l'malamed olapolim levatalam imalacha v'lo iboy la'asuk yadatayu shalpol v'shal balabayit inami tshuvayu iboy lu la'asuk yadatayu sheshavim b'yidia oz hava p'seded the poel ta'amot mechaviru olav araya v'nomar shemazol ha'poel garam. So what's the rule that he's appealing to here? What's the rule?
Equal knowledge principle?
Yeah, exactly. The equal knowledge principle. Yeah. And so who loses Yakir in that case? Who's the Poel?
The Malamed.
Exactly. He says the Malamed should lose because neither party was expected to know that there would be some pandemic, and the Malamed is the Motzi, so the Motzi loses. Yakir, what do you find interesting about... He's the first person, I think, to inject something into the, to inject a further note into the note of an, like an interpretive bent to the parties in equipoise rule. Shout out to Adam. What does he add? Do you see like an interpretive slant on the say to the poem rule here?
The no marshmallows at Polygram is what you're
referring? Yeah, I think so. Why are you smiling?
No, okay.
I think he's the first person to say that to infuse the Pseida de Polem idea with a Mazel Garam idea. Unless somebody remembers to the contrary. But I think that's a little significant. What do you guys think? Is that significant? Why yes, why no? Speak up.
Opinion at the moment as to whether it's significant, all Torah is significant, but he seems to be doing a move sort of similar to moves we've seen in the past, that it was Mechilat Levaraya. It doesn't work on its own, but it creates a legal background for something else happening. So in his case, the fact that the Baal Bayis is muchzak in a Mosechel of Haraya sense, the fact that the Poel has a more tenuous hold on the money, causes us to interpret the loss as Mazel of Poel.
It's interesting that you went that way, Akir. So, you know, I take it that you're going in the way to, you're trying to understand, how could this be like, you know, the astrolog, like, how could a rule about which party has a duty to specify have anything to do with astrology? And you're trying to say, well, maybe the stars are determined, their alignment is somehow affected by Cheskas Mammon, right?
Whether it's astrological or Mazel Pol Garam is just about letting the loss lie where it lies in some sense. Either way, the determination of either the astrological reality or the determination of where the loss lies is being determined by legal rules.
Yeah, that's right. That is true. I thought that you could, if anything, though, you could even go further and say that his use of Mazel Chagaram here just means tough luck. Like, it's such a deflationary application of Mazel Chagaram that it's not even the astrological one. It's not the even let the loss lie where it falls in any meaningful way. It's literally just saying, like, you lose and you're bad luck for not having made it tonight. Like, what do you, I mean, is that too deflationary or? You know, what is Rilichenstein quote from that? Is it Wordsworth or right? Or something about how, you know, all the enchantment disappears at the cold touch of philosophy?
Cold touch of philosophy?
Okay. Yakir, do you hear what I'm saying?
Yeah, I hear what you're saying. It doesn't seem likely to me. Maybe there's something incongruous about you pointing out this phrase that he adds that no one else has, and then turning around and saying, and that phrase is meaningless.
Well, no, I'm not saying it. I'm saying it shows that his use of the phrase of Mazel Chagaram, his understanding of the idea of Mazel Chagaram. It's what's that called?
It's an incongruous indeed, good sir.
His use of the phrase Mazel Chagaram is really just as like, you know, tough luck, man. You lose. Donnie's nodding his head. Isn't like that.
Yeah, I'm not the biggest fan of that. I think it's just like you're bending over backwards to like basically erase that line.
Right. That's,
the line should be erased.
Right, that's what I'm saying. He just throws it in there. It comes for free because it comes for free.
I thoroughly agree with you, Timo, here.
Oh, Adam, you're with me?
Yeah. Otherwise, they really wouldn't even be Muslim Javier Alvarado.
Meaning, what do you mean by that?
If it was truly Shamaso Hapo Garam, would it really be Muslim Javier Alvarado?
Right, so I think Yakir was trying to say that, I'm embellishing, that, you know, the stars are moved by Mazel. Sorry, that the stars are moved by Motzime Chaveru Olav Haraya. Right? I think that's what Yakir was saying. In the stronger way of putting it. And I'm saying, like, no, clearly he's thinking that the fact that he could just insert this here for free shows that Mazel Hagaram is just like a way of saying bad, you know, it's your you got bad luck, sir. But all right, I won't perseverate on this point.
Also it's a Maka Medina. I mean,
so it's interesting. Yeah. So the question here is, he's going to say that this is not really a Maka Medina. We'll get to that in 1 second, actually. So notice. So he first says that in this. You're right. He does say it's a Be'ez HaKetzef, right? So everyone and people ran away. He says the Malamed loses. And he says, "V'nido didan dome mamish loha tizeshe barach me'imas hanegef yikra ones." Okay, he says for sure it's an ones. Then he quotes the Mordechai that in Makas Medina nosin lo kol scharo. Right, remember we saw that view in the Mordechai that the Malamed gets everything, and he says lo shmiyali kolomar lo svirli lechanos nidon didan Makas Medina. He says this isn't a Makas Medina. Because v'chichol hadarim b'Venetia barchu v'nesbatlu milimudam, halo miyuta demiyuta barchu. He says this isn't a Makas Medina because not every member of the community ran away. It was a minority, miyuta demiyuta, that ran away, and so it's dome mamish lepsika nara v'palgad yoma. So it's more dome to the Poalim case where the motzi loses than to this case of Makas Medina. And he says, "V'hainu taima shelo yikra makas medina rak hashave b'chol adam, kemo gzeras hamoshel shelo yilmedu am hatamidim shekulam b'teilim." Masha enke in his case. Okay, now, so his move here is to distinguish between the Maram's case, the Mordechai's case, which he says is a makas medina. Maybe the Malamdim get everything, and his case, which he says is not a makas medina, just a stam ones where the motzi loses. Now, he does have an interesting point here, which is just worth mentioning. He says, you might think, he says, V'im lachshech adam lomar, me'achar shenidon ze eino makas medina, shelo baruchu kulam rak hamiyot, imken lo yikare ones, delo hayelo levroach, kimo shachirum lo baruchu. So he's saying an interesting counter-argument. Does the fact, once you say it's not a makas medina, as evidenced by the fact that not everybody ran away, maybe that fact should also vitiate its status as an ones, right? He says, "Ze eino." He says, "Dehayare v'rach halevav hu mesukan be'es hadever barminim kimeforsam." He's like, "No, it is an ones because, like, if you're afraid of it, then it's actually like dangerous for you." Af ki rabim heim asher heim avire lev ve'ena mefachtim. So he wants to say that, like, yeah, some people could tough it out and be fine with COVID, but other people, you know, will just tough it out. And it doesn't mean that you were, and other people will panic. It doesn't mean that the people who panic are unjustified. He's saying, like, there's, like, good reasons on either side. And for the Yare Verach Haleva, this is like a genuine ones. He says, "V'lo archiv od be'ela lefakfek v'lomar im kein hatalmid yad hashehu rach halevav v'hamed lo yad ativo ve'enam shavim bi'idia deze eno." He's saying, well, maybe then you could argue that the Talmud is in the better position to have made a tanai, because he knows that he has this meek constitution, so he should have had to have made a tanai about the potential ones. He says, "No, deze eino mishe u'avir lev l'famim nichnas ema belibo pitom v'hulo haven zeh ba'atmo mikodem gam lo ala dashim adam sakanas hadavar. Im kein enu shayach lomar ha'ilo lahasnos. Just an interesting analysis about people's self-awareness. And, you know, sometimes you don't know that you'll panic under certain conditions. And B, that, you know, sometimes they occur suddenly such that it doesn't generate a presumption that you should have made the Tanai. All right? So that's all the Maran Padua's argument to kind of distinguish between a Makas Medina case where the Melamed gets all and the case where non-Makas Medina case where the Melamed loses because the Melamed should have made it tonight. Now, even though the Maran Padua distinguishes between his case, which he calls a non-Makas Medina, and the Mordechai's case, which he calls a Makas Medina, as I think Adam pointed out at the beginning, it's not so obvious that this is a non-Makas Medina. Like, what do you think? Should this be defined as a Makas Medina in your view? I mean, it was Melamed Shabarach Talmida Beiro Beis Ketzef Kasher Hechel HaNegat BeVenetzia Barminan. There definitely was like a broad pandemic, but just not everybody ran away. So is it a Makas Medina defined by how many people ran away, or is it a Makas Medina as defined by the fact that there was a Negev that, you know, gave everyone reason to potentially run away? So I think later Poskim actually resists the Maran Padua's distinction here to say that his case was not a case of Makas Medina. In particular, the Chachma Shlomo in Simon Shin Chaf Aleph thinks that the Rama is soser himself by quoting both the Mordechai's Shita that the Melamed takes all in a Makas Medina, and this Tshuva the Maran Padua, which says that the Melamed loses in this Ketzef Bar Minin that affects the whole town. So the Chachma Shlomo himself offers the following distinction. He says, this is in Shimon Shin Chaf Aleph, V'nir L'chalik, Divahach Tshuva, in the Mordechai's case, Shegazar HaMoshel Shelo Yilmod, Divazeh Have Ones Rakal HaTalmidim, Limona Min HaLimud, Lo Al HaMelamed, Uvezeh Svir Lehu Da Hefzid Al Bal HaBayis, Demazale Dide Garam, Aval Maharam Padua, Mairi da have ha'ones machmas shinui ha'avir. Uveze have ha'ones al ha'melamed, kimo al ha'talmid. Beze kasa maran padua shepater abalabayis. Okay. And then he kind of says, and even though the language of the tshuva doesn't sound that way, this is the right way to distinguish between them. So what do you think the Chachma Shlomo is doing here? What's his distinction? I think he's acknowledging that both cases are cases of Makas Medina, right? Both the Mordechai's case and the case of the Maran Padua. But he thinks that there are different kinds of Makas Medinas, and different kinds of Makas Medinas will generate different principles of allocating the loss. So how do you understand this? What do you think he's saying? Yair, you want to take a crack at it?
I'm still looking at it.
Donnie, want to take a crack at it? Adam?
What exactly is the first case?
The Mordechai's case?
Yeah.
So the Mordechai just said that if the Moshel is Gozer, I think we discussed this Mordechai, right? Why does everybody look like they just woke up, they just got out of bed?
I don't know if this distinction makes any sense, Itamar.
Well, so I think what he's saying is that the Mordechai's case is a case where the
Chachma Shlomo's distinction.
Right. The Chachma Shlomo is saying that the Mordechai's case is a case where the governor, the Moshel, said, no one's allowed to learn Torah. he interprets that, I think, controversially, that that is considered to be a minia meets an ikuv meets sad hatalmidim, right? I guess what justifies his point is that the Moshel doesn't care if you teach Torah. What he really cares about is that no one should be learning Torah, right? I think that's his move here, right? Devezeh haveh ones rak al hatalmidim lemona min halimud lo al hamelamed, right? You forbid the teaching of Torah because you really care about the learning of Torah, right? No one cared that Socrates was teaching philosophy. They cared that he was corrupting the youth, right? So the gezeira of the Moshel is really a gezeira on the Talmidim. And so he thinks that's what's distinctive about the Mordechai's Makas Medina. So there, it's a Makas Medina that's really targeting the Talmidim. So it's an ikuv mitzad ha-talmidim. The talmidim are not allowed to learn. So their parents still have to pay the full tuition. Uvezeh svirle da hefsed al ba'al habayis de mazala didei garam. Right? The loss is coming from his side. Yes. Aval hamaram padua. Hamaram padua ma'iri da habe ones machma shinu ha'avir. There's some, you know, just pollution in the environment, something bad about the weather conditions or the air conditions, the condition of the air. Uvezeh hava ha'ones al hamelamed kimo al hatalmid. Uvezeh kasav ma'aram padua she pater habalabayas. The argument here is that if the Makas Medina affects both parties evenly, then it triggers the Poel losing, right? Meaning it's then it triggers the Motsi Mechaber Olav Haraya, Hefsed Al Shneyem, the Motsi loses. But if the Ones hits one party more than the other, then it would almost like trigger the boat case rule, where you look for the party who's in default, and then the Malamud would be entitled to his compensation. So I think what's interesting here is that within Makas Medina, the Chachma Shlomo is applying the other principles that we've seen of Pseida de Poalim and the Yayin Stam Sfina Zu principles. You guys have thoughts on that reading, or?
I don't think that helps us with our question about the Maram Padua. Because still, our question isn't the objective aspect of it. We're asking really all the subjective aspect. The student is more scared, so the student decides to run away while everyone else remains in the city.
I think he says, Afim lo yia mashmos hachuba l'chilok ze mikamakum ledina hadvar mistavrim l'chalik bezeh. I think he's acknowledging that the words of the Maram Padua are clearly going in a different direction. Right, Maram Padua himself seemed to think that his case wasn't Makas Medina, but I think the Chachma Shlomo is disagreeing with that analysis.
Mm-hmm. Anybody have raises the question, how are we going to, in general, define the objective stance to take on the Makas Medina? Do we have to go by the man on the platform omnibus?
The who?
The reasonable man.
Right. The way I understand this Chachma Shlomo, and just tell me all what you think, I think he's saying that even within Makas Medina, we look to these considerations of if the parties are equally affected, we go to the Motzi rule, and if the Ones is targeting one more than the other, then we'll shift the burden and apply the Sfina rule. Yeah, Kira, does that make sense to you, or you read it differently?
I think that makes sense.
Excellent.
Even the first,
you know, like in logic, there's like a, you know, if you get from the modal operator of like, I think that P to P, right? There's like the, so like for Yakir, it follows from I think that P to P. So. Okay, maybe you have to be omniscient for that. Cole, do you have to be omniscient for that to follow?
Does God have any thoughts? No. It doesn't follow for anybody.
No, not even Yakir.
God has thoughts. I think God has thoughts that don't rise to the level of knowledge.
Like about the future. Lafi the Rabbah. Adam, you have a hand?
Yeah. Lafi, sensible men.
Yeah. I mean, even in the first case, the Mordechai's case, there's still, even though the Onis may be specifically based on Gezerah, that's specifically all Talmidim, by definition also impacts the Melamed. Lamech no longer teach. There's no one to teach. It's not like there's some other student he could substitute in for.
I agree. It's a huge chiddush. It's a huge chiddush. But he's thinking, right, because you're saying, like, in the end of the day, the Moshe said you can't teach. And he's getting all fine-grained and saying, well, you know, the reason why he's not letting you teach is because he doesn't want the students to learn, so it's really a student-based onus.
It's like, it almost sounds like if there was a plague and there's no more corn in the entire country, and I'm tasked with providing corn, now I say, well, there's no more corn in the country, so you still have to continue paying me. Because it's not my fault.
Yeah, it's hard to know exactly how to apply his principle. But so I'm not endorsing his specific analysis of the facts. I'm just saying that the principle is that Yakir acknowledges that he appears to be appealing to are the principles from the boat case and the parties in Ekopo's City of the Polim case, even within Makas Medina. Yair, does that sound good to you?
Yeah, does Makas Medina do anything for the Chochmah Shlomo? Is it ever relevant?
Right. Good question. Right. What does Makas Medina add? So if Gabe was here, remember Gabe kept having this distinction between... Gabe kept suggesting, I think rightly, maybe there's a way of reading Makas Medina just as an application of some of the antecedent rules, right? It doesn't have to be a modifier. And maybe this analysis of the Chochmah Shlomo is consistent with that suggestion of Gabe's.
So you'd say that only the second case would be a case of Makas Medina. What Makas Medina really means is just that the onus is everyone.
Correct. Which is what I was saying.
Both parties.
Exactly, which is what I was suggesting last Chabura and the Taz, who was arguing why the Hefzid usually falls on the Baal HaKarka, right? And that's just because Makas Medina means the Hefzid is Al Shneyem, the parties are in equipoise, and so the Motzi loses, right? The Baal HaKarka is the Motzi. Yeah, here. Yeah. Okay. That's what I wanted to cover for this part of the Chabura.